When have you been on the podcast?
Am I recording? We're recording.
Well, Greg just hands me the phone, disappears. All right. We are back. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday right now. And we've got me,
Jen from 1 Kilo,
and Amanda, the strong panda.
You didn't say where you're from. From Denmark.
Where are you from?
Denmark.
And Yasmin Zamit-Stevens from Malta.
And Gregor was here a moment ago and then just bailed on us to go talk to somebody else. Okay, but Yasmin is talking to us about what it was like being in the Romanian training. Here's Gregor. There we go. Romanian training camp with Toma.
Yeah, we're about to get to know the amazing secrets of Yasmin Stevens. So did you guys already...
Everyone waiting on you, Greg. Oh, everyone introduce themselves.
All right, so I'm Gregor Winter. Hello, everyone. We just talked about that you visited Loredana Toma in Romania before European Championships 2019.
Yeah.
That is correct. Maybe you could tell the story of you snatching 85 again for the listeners.
Yeah. Okay.
So
should I just repeat that?
Yeah, part? I think I just killed the whole vibe here. All right.
Throwing that in my face. I'm going to confirm with Jordan, by the way, about tomorrow.
Okay. Okay.
Go on. Yeah, so basically I was just saying how when I PR'd my snatch, so I snatched 85 for the first time when I was there, and I was like not completely in the group yet. Yeah. Not a lot of the Romanians speak English. I knew that Loredana spoke a bit of English, but of course, like, they did their best to include me and they treated me really nice, but I never really, like, you know, got into the group as much.
Yeah.
But after I PR'd, when I went back to my room, Loredana actually, like, knocked on my door and came to congratulate me and gave me a piece of chocolate, which is, like, really sweet.
So
of her.
Sweet.
Yeah, really nice. But, like, the whole experience in Romania was, like, specifically strange, like, for me, because I come from a country where we don't have Olympic centers or like a place where athletes go to train. It's basically I just drive myself to the gym where it's just me and my coach, and I'm not funded for what I do and it's not my job. And it's like,
and yeah, listeners, if you want to see Yasmin drive to the gym, you can go to her YouTube channel.
Yes.
What's
and
it called?
A Day in My Life.
Yes, and you can watch A Day in the Life with Yasmin.
Yeah.
What's your channel called? It's just
just Yasmin Zamit-Stevens.
Yasmin Zamit-Stevens.
Yeah,
on YouTube.
Yeah, so when I got there, I mean, I have been to other training camps before in Italy, so I actually stayed with the Italian national team, so I had already gotten that, like, Olympic Center vibe already, so I knew what that was like. But in Romania, it was just, like, to another level, because they're very, very, very strict.
It's business, yeah.
It is, like, 100% strict, and I was just not ready for that. Almost like I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I had never spoken to any of the Romanian athletes or coaches.
So how did it come about that you went to visit?
Yeah, so my coach is always trying to find like great places for me to go and train. I've not been doing this for very long, so he's constantly trying to find places for me to grow as an athlete, and he knows people from the Romanian Federation and he knows how good their athletes are.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you know what, do you want to try out the Romanian national team? Do you want to try go train there? And of course he'd be an idiot to say, oh no, I won't go train alongside, you know, one of the world's greatest. I was completely like terrified, because like I said, I knew no one, and I literally got on a plane on my own, got there, and like met up with complete strangers basically.
They picked me up.
No, my coach didn't come with me. I was there. Obviously, my coach is the only weightlifting coach in Malta, so he had to stay behind because we have more athletes.
So Malta has.
He's also the president of the
Federation.
He's the president of the association, the national team coach. He's like literally everything for Maltese weightlifting.
So Malta, as far as from what you've described, has one weightlifting person, rats, and one fox.
We talked about the wildlife.
The fox was in Dublin.
Oh, the fox was in Dublin.
That's why she was so excited.
That's why you were crying.
Yes.
Because you've never seen...
I'd never seen a wild fox before.
A wild animal of any sort,
exactly.
Apparently.
Yeah.
And rats.
Yeah.
Rats.
I've seen
what was your first thought? Like, oh my God, there's a giant rat that with a bushy tail in the middle of the road. Or,
yeah, no.
You knew for like...
Fox, yeah.
Okay. So Malta, interesting place. All right, no foxes. I was going to come visit, but now...
Nah.
So your coach...
You should come visit Robert. Your no coach? Wildlife, but loads of nice beaches and sun for 300 days of the year more, I think. It's the best, honestly. But except, yeah, of course, like to get better at weightlifting, I kind of had to get out.
And did you feel, so you said it was a completely different vibe,
yeah,
vibe training there. So did you get better?
So much better.
So much better. Like,
because it's just the whole culture of how they did it. So when I'm back home, it's I'm training seriously and whatever, but every single day I'm going back to my normal life. So I'm going back to my house where no one is an athlete there, and it's like, you know, just a normal life, yeah, back home. And when you're in a place in Romania like that, where it's an Olympic center and you're constantly 24/7 in a weightlifter's zone, like you wake up, have breakfast with the athletes, go straight to the gym, do your stretching with the other athletes, have lunch with the athletes, go to the gym again, go sauna with the athletes, go do your massages or whatever. It's like you're 24/7 an athlete. And I was like that for a whole month. And I think just that whole experience is why I improved so much.
Yeah.
Just because, and I think that's why it was so bizarre for me, because I had never experienced that before. Like being a real weightlifter, honestly. It was the first time I had ever felt like I was an actual, like, full-on athlete. Plus, Lordiana's coach is...
Konstantin Odas.
He is the best.
Why?
He is, honestly. He would start off every single day. I'm not even joking. He'd come inside the gym. All the athletes are on their platforms, warming up. And he would come inside the gym, and the first thing he would do is approach every single athlete and tell them what their strength is. He would do this for the entire time I was there.
Never heard of
every
him.
Single wow. day. Every single day. He would. Obviously, I didn't know what he was telling them.
Yeah.
But as soon as he got to my platform, he would go, "How are you feeling today?" I'd go, "Really good. Oh, I know you're going to have a really strong day. You're so strong. You're stronger than you even know. We're going to have a great day. You wait and see."
That's great. That's so cool. Yeah.
Just
I'm going to use that in my...
I'm exactly. not even joking. Just him doing that every day was so inspiring. And what I know it sounds super...
Dr. Boffer, can you do this for me every day?
I know.
Someone like this
tomorrow
in my life.
I'm just going to wake up. Well, when Greg's sleeping, I'm just going to whisper in his ear, "Greg, you're so handsome. You're so strong. You're going to have a great... You hold that camera so well. You're going to have a great day." So wait, did he do that for Loredana Toma too?
Yes,
really?
yes. He constantly, like, he would sometimes speak to her in English as well, just so, like, I would almost, like, understand what's going on. And he would constantly tell her, like, even in front of me, he'd go, "Oh, she's so strong. She's so strong. Like, she's incredible." He'd constantly... Not just such a compliment, I don't think that's like the specific word I'm looking for, but he was constantly so motivating. And the first day when he saw my lifting and like he said, "I want to see what your lifting's like and I want to give you like realistic expectations for the end of this training camp," the first thing he told me was, "You won't leave Romania without lifting 85. You'll definitely lift 85 before you leave here." And I'm not joking. You can look this up on my Instagram. On the final day I was there, I snatched 85.
Can I look this up right now?
Go on.
All right.
I think I posted it post-Europeans though.
For your listeners, for our listeners, what is your Instagram?
Yasmin.Stevens.
And Yasmin is with a Y?
Yeah, YAZMIN.Stevens.
Stevens.
He is honestly like...
So this was 2018 or 2019?
This is 2019.
Yeah, okay.
So I think it was the final session before Europeans, but I posted it probably after Europeans.
We have to go.
Oh, there's loads, yeah. I mean, I'll definitely find it for you.
I feel like I was scrolling for a long time, and I was like, "Oh, fuck, that's Thailand."
Yeah.
It's like last week.
That's like a couple months
ago.
Yeah, I know.
But it sounds really cool. It sounds like he really understands sports psychology and how important it is to not just be a good coach, but...
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that idea of like every single day.
It's
so
every
positive.
Single
it's so like what a like way to start the session off on the right foot. Like when you come in and maybe on a shitty day or whatever.
Like, and also like on one of the days I got a bit frustrated because I was missing a lot of lifts and I got emotional. I'm 26 years old, yet I sat there and cried myself. And Laura Diana actually like looked at me and just told me like, everyone has a bad day, like calm down. And I was like, okay, that's like really sweet of her to even approach me during her own training session. But also he, realistically, I'm not his athlete, okay? So I was there as a guest. So I didn't expect him to put on such an effort to make sure I was constantly okay. And again, when we were back in the rooms, he knocked at my door, and this was like in the evening time, and he came to explain the rest of the week with me and explain why every single day we're going to be doing certain things. And he was telling me to be patient and just put in so much effort for an athlete where realistically he didn't really need to do that with me, right? Like,
yeah.
And I really appreciated that. And even now, I saw him today, so this is almost a year later. Almost a year later, he'll see me and he's like, he's like, oh yes, man, oh my god, like how are you doing, you look great. And he's the best. He's only thing, I think Laura Diana's relationship and her coach, I think it's the strongest part of that, probably. Yeah, that duo, just the. And did you see how happy he was after her 136 today?
Up to me, and he was the happiest. I've never seen him that happy.
It's like, crazy.
I pushed her really hard in training. We have to go for the Olympics. I pushed her really hard and really tough training. I was like, yeah, it really paid off, and he was really happy. Yeah,
that's amazing. I love that.
I think Dr. Boffa just found
throwback to hitting 85 kilograms for the first time last March in Romania. We're gonna
and you can hear
this.
Him if you put it with sound on, you can hear him.
Amazing shuffle afterwards.
Happy dance afterwards.
Listen, you should really scroll through Yasmin's profile. It's from June 11th, 2019, post.
So I posted it after Europeans, because then I hit 86 in Europeans that year. So just to give you an idea, the best result I had before my training camp in Romania was an 80 kilo snatch. So I PR'd my snatch by 6 kilos in about 5 months.
Wow.
And my best clean and jerk was 99, and I hit 103 in that competition. And I think that training camp, obviously it's a combination of the incredible support my own coach gives me and the fact that he realizes that there's a limit as such of what I can learn from being in my gym in Malta. He organizes these training camps for me and constantly wants me to learn from other people as well. So I think it's just a combination of my amazing coach and like all these other amazing coaches I meet. And it's crazy, you know. It's like, I truly appreciate that training camp so much. I've learned so much from it. And I can't wait to go back. I really hope I get the opportunity to go back. I'm really, like, excited to see what I can do.
Are there any other places you'd love to train?
Well, I've trained in Italy. Well, I trained in Italy and Slovenia. Uh-huh. Italy was really fun. The energy the Italians have is crazy. Like, I used to go inside the gym and they have the music on full on, and it's just Italian music. They're so passionate about like everything being Italian. I'm still really good friends with them. The coaches are really nice as well. I've actually trained in Italy on 3 separate occasions for like a few months every single time. The first time I went to the Esercito, the army one, and then the other 2 times I went to Acquacitosa, which is the one where they've been training in lately, and that was a really nice experience as well. I learned so much from them. I think I learned how to clean when I was in Italy, so that's definitely
And I said recently you also improved your jerk, and you said
yes.
110 clean jerk.
I did 112.
Really?
Yes.
Did you post this to Instagram?
I did it a week ago.
Oh.
Which just shows you how bad yesterday was for me, because it was totally not a reflection of how my training's been going.
Yeah.
But yes, I improved my jerk. Obviously, my jerk has been like my biggest weakness throughout my entire like short weightlifting career. but it's coming along, so hopefully by Europeans, I can definitely show what I've actually been doing in training.
Yeah.
Should we talk about your competition or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with talking about it.
It's a little bit. So we're not even 48 hours after it happened.
24 hours after
24 hours.
Right now?
Yeah. A bit more than 24 hours, yeah.
So both of them lifted yesterday.
Yeah. Amanda had
Amanda, the strong panda.
Oh, come on.
So yeah, Amanda competed pretty often in the past couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, just I had another competition. competition last Saturday in Copenhagen.
Where she snatched 88 kilos, FYI.
Yeah, I did 87 yesterday.
Yeah. But so 87 is her best international snatch, which is huge.
Yeah.
And she clean and jerked 101, which is only a kilo under your personal international best.
Yes.
International best.
No, I did 104.
No, but like as a total, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's like consistent and really good. And I was honestly so happy like to see her snatch 87 just because I know how much she wanted that yesterday and how much she deserved that yesterday. I was really happy to see that, even though I was like so horrified by what I was doing.
So what were you doing?
So
what were you not doing?
Yeah, so I only finished with 80 and 99 yesterday. Just to give you an idea, my last max out session in training was a week prior on Tuesday, and I snatched 85 for two singles and clean and jerked 105 for three singles and jerked 112. Went up to 112, no misses whatsoever, jerked from the block. So realistically, I was meant to be doing a lot, like big numbers yesterday. So I was sitting at around like 67 kilo body weight a week ago, which is, I've done this every single time. I'm about maybe 2.5 to 3 kilos heavier a week prior. So this is something I've done before. And I usually do this water loading, water cut technique, which has always worked for me.
Okay.
I started water loading, and about 2 days before the competition, I got a fever, which I only felt ill for like a few hours. The fever didn't like last long. But it must have either affected my water weight, or I can't really say if I got sick out of like nowhere and it affected my water cut, or if I got sick because maybe I was being a bit weak or a bit like not eating enough or anything like this. I don't know what happened, but basically my body weight did not move whatsoever. So I came in, flew in a day before my competition, still weighing 67.
Coming heavy, oh my God.
And at that point, it was not funny at all.
It's hilarious now.
I just sat on my bed and I told my coach, listen, I either like don't, I pull out of the competition, like not do the competition, or attempt to sauna out, you know, water cut out the 3 kilos. I've never done it before, so maybe it won't really affect me that much. I never know unless I do it. And he said, you know, do whatever you're comfortable with. And I said, I'm gonna try. So I sweat out 1.8 kilos on the day before. I sweat out on two separate like sauna sessions, which was like an hour and an hour each, so 2 hours total. Felt quite not as horrible as I thought. Went to bed. This is the worst part, guys. I'm not even joking. I went to bed.
I mean, what you just said sounds pretty bad.
No. I went to bed and I woke up at a point. I woke up at a point. It was like 1 a.m. and I must have been so dehydrated. I was so confused. I forgot where I was. And it took me a minute to like remember that I'm in Italy to compete and stuff like this. And I freaked out because I thought, this is this is dangerous territory. Like if I'm getting confused, I should drink. And I just filled up like about 100 ml of water, put in electrolytes in my water, and I drank that, and I managed to sleep the rest of the night. Woke up the next morning, I actually managed to pee, which is bizarre because I sweat out 1.8 kilos. And I was sitting 0.6 over, which is fine. I said, you know what, that's like, what, 20 minutes sauna?
But when you've lost so much weight,
at this point, what are you sweating?
I know. I went into the sauna and I poured, even though you're not meant to, and I'm sorry for the like people at the sauna place, but like I poured water all over the like hot rocks and it was like steam, and I embraced it. I stood over the steam. And I was like literally trying to cry because I was so sad and over it, but no tears were coming out of me. And
it's totally dry.
I was so. She messaged
you about this.
I'm crying in the sauna right now.
I messaged the man and I said, I'm crying. No, I actually had already sweated it out. I just sat there naked in front of the sauna. Contemplating my entire life choices at this point. I felt horrible, honestly. But then I thought, you know, I'll drink my electrolytes. I had, right after weighing, I drank like 3 liters in an hour and then kept drinking. I think yesterday in total I drank probably like another 6 liters of water easily, like just constantly really thirsty.
Tell them about the picture time at the weigh-in.
Oh yeah, so you know you're meant to take a picture. As soon as you weigh in, they take your picture for the screens.
Oh, okay.
They take your picture there and then, right after you weigh in.
Oh, wow.
So I weighed in, I went to sit down for my picture, and I was like, give me 1 second. And I had 2 bottles, like these half-liter bottles in my hand, with electrolytes I had prepared from before. And I literally just downed one, stopped, downed the other one, stopped. And the guy with the camera was like, wow, you're thirsty. And I was like, fucking right, I'm thirsty. Like, I haven't drank water in so long. And yeah, it was, I felt better, like I felt almost like I could feel the water like go down inside me, honestly, and I could feel life come back into my body. But the one thing I felt, especially on the first day I was saunaing out, was that my back was aching and I could barely sit down. My back was aching way too much, and I think I just, I'm going to be honest, like I didn't feel the back aching during the competition, but it obviously affected my lifting. I mean, I really tried my best. I really pushed to try and get like the best out of a really bad situation. But I'm not even like disappointed in my performance. I'm disappointed in my weight cut.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously there's always something else. And I said this yesterday on my Instagram as well. It's not like an excuse whatsoever. I take full responsibility for that performance. I could have done better. I mean, realistically, I should have never depended on the water cut. I should have been more careful. You know, it's worked before, but at least now I know not to depend on it ever again.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it basically. But we have another competition in a month in Malta, so
it's true.
We're gonna fight to do that one, and then Europeans in about 9 weeks from now.
9 weeks already?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, 9 weeks. Okay. Yep.
9 weeks.
It's 9 weeks. Believe me, I've been counting. Like,
I have 3 competitions.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I have a smaller one. I have small nations as well, but
no, it's
I'm
true.
Not. I'm yeah. not wrong.
Actually,
yeah.
February,
I'm right.
March.
It's already April.
Early April. Yeah.
I'm 100% right.
Yeah, you are.
Because I set my diet again for Europeans.
Very good.
Thank
What's
you.
Your favorite snack meal?
It's 11.
When you're not.
What day are you looking at?
The 7.
Is it 11 or 8?
At least 10.
I don't know, I calculated 9. Maybe like from
plan
Monday.
For 9? Plan for
I
9
I would
weeks.
Plan for 9, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So there's
yeah.
not going to be another weight
no,
issue?
No, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I lost. So in Thailand, I competed as a 71, and I was weighing like around 72. So I cut down like a kilo to 71 for that one. And I cut down to 67 until like now.
Okay.
So, I mean, weight cut was going really well. I was cutting really nice and healthy. I mean, the fact that I was still improving my lifts. I mean, I clean and jerked with a press out 110 just 2 weeks ago.
Clean and jerk, yep, that counts. Yep.
Yeah, it was a tiny press. Okay, it wasn't a tiny press. It's on my Instagram as well.
It's a push press.
But it was. It's a huge lift for me. So, yeah, I mean, my strength was still going up. It's just that maybe if I had 2 more weeks, I would have maybe been a lot better. But you can't really pick and choose. Yeah.
Okay, Yasmin Stevens' favorite snack meal when you don't have to cut weight?
I would say, like, just pure chocolate. Like, or not just, like, chocolate. Just plain chocolate. Or, like, a jar of Nutella. That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're not the only weightlifter who likes Nutella, as we've seen in the past, right?
Lasha. Lasha was digging his spatula at breakfast the other day.
Can you imagine though being a super heavyweight and never ever ever having to care about your body weight? I don't think he ever like goes on a scale. Do you think he would?
Probably only for competition.
Yeah. Like, because for me personally, Amanda can tell you, actually, she's a very comfortable 64, so she never has to cut weight at all. But for me personally, I probably weigh myself around 5-6 times a day. No joke.
A day?
Yeah, because I'm constantly paranoid, like, my weight going up.
Wow.
So I'll constantly weigh myself.
And you always weigh your food as well, right?
And I constantly
a lot of time.
Food. Well, yeah, that's part of like the diet life, I guess. And I'm also the type of person, I think Maltese, Mediterranean people in general, over-exaggerate their food.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen our portion sizes. You'll come to Malta.
Okay.
You will be shocked at the portion sizes in Malta. You go to a restaurant and order like a plate of pasta. You'd think they got a plate of pasta for the entire like table of people. It would be for one person. So I constantly need to like portion out my food because... We have an expression in Maltese. I don't know if you actually say it in English, but you say like your eyes are bigger than your stomach.
Yes, we have
literally
the Germany.
Exact same.
Is it in English though?
You just said the expression.
Okay. Because it's okay. Good. Then it's exactly the same expression. Okay. Good. Yeah. So we say that.
This, but
yeah. Literally so that's it. And I think I'd be like, oh, this looks like 50 grams, right? And then I weigh it, and it's like 250. And I'm like, oh, okay. So no.
Yeah.
And I never learned, so like I constantly have to have a pocket size like weighing scale that they carry around with me. Yeah, so I have to constantly weigh that as well.
Yeah,
it becomes part of your life, though.
Hopefully, not my life.
you do your like you fast probably from like being like having to take pictures the entire day.
You have
barely
a scale
get
for coffee, Greg. You have a you do no weigh
way.
Out.
I weigh out my coffee.
He weighs out
because I have little beans.
He
and
brought
the scale
to Rome last year when he visited me.
You're a weird human being.
Oh, come on.
You weigh your coffee beans.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He brought a hand grinder with him to Rome last year.
You take your coffee serious.
Like, I do.
It's his.
I appreciate
but you can have
that. I appreciate that because I love my coffee as well.
Yeah, and have you? Yeah, you have had a chance to drink Italian coffee, right?
Of course. I've trained here for so long.
Yeah.
And actually, the first time I was on the training camp here, I went to the bar at the Olympic Center, and I said I wanted a coffee, but the way I have my coffee is very like the way the English people, I guess, have their coffee, which is like a big, nice mug of coffee.
Yeah.
So like the same kind of coffee you get at Starbucks or something like this.
Yeah.
And they give me this... joke of a coffee basically that looked like drops, and I just kept looking at it like no, I want a coffee. They're like, yes, this is a coffee. And I was like, no, that's an espresso. And they got so offended that I said, no, that's an espresso. They're like, no, that's a coffee. What do you want is an Americano. I was like, okay, I'll keep that in mind for future like reference.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for at breakfast. We want like nice big mugs.
Yeah, they never have that. The trick is to just get like a water cup and put your coffee in that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah. But Amanda had a great competition yesterday.
Okay. Amanda, what did you snatch? You said 87, right? Clean jerk?
101, and then I got 105 above my head, but it got called out for press out.
Yeah.
The tiniest of press outs.
So that's 5 for 6 then?
No, 4.
4?
I missed 104. I got...
Oh, okay.
Call it stars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Passed out. My journal like this.
So on that topic, you almost passed out?
Oh, yeah, on the first one. So the thing is, you didn't see the video. I did that again.
She was on the ground shaking. Yeah, shaking.
Yeah, so... The plan was to start off at 102, which is what I would do on a healthy day.
Uh-huh.
And my clean and jerks were actually going better in the warm-up than my snatches. I think the water and everything had started working in my body, and I was almost feeling better as soon as we got to clean and jerks. But I missed the jerk on the 100 in warm-up. And to be safe, my coach put my clean and jerk down to 99, which meant as soon as I missed the 100 in warm-up, I had to go out and do 99. So I had no rest in between that warm-up lift and the 99 I did on stage. So as soon as I let go of the bar, I started walking back to my coach, and then it almost felt like my coach was starting to fly, and I could feel myself like fall backwards, and like I just sat down. And it's a weird feeling. It's something that happened recently in a competition in San Marino as well, where my body starts to shake, but I'm completely conscious, so I didn't like lose consciousness or anything like that. I just can feel my body shaking, and you have to like just shake for a while. And I was telling them, I'm fine.
Oh, wow.
I'm fine.
Yasmin is shaking violently right now.
I actually did a meme about it when I did it in San Marino, because I fell down on my knees and I could feel like my body shaking this way. And I don't know if you've ever seen the videos of the people doing the Harlem Shake.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
And I put the music exactly timed it to when I start doing the shake.
It was a popular meme.
Oh, thanks.
I love to make fun of myself.
That's good.
It's the best thing. Yeah.
That was a solid half an hour.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's 11 o'clock.
You're a natural on the podcast. Would you consider joining the ATG podcast in the future?
I'd love to. I'd honestly be so honored to.
I'd love to have Trevor on as a regular.
We go to Romania, we got a podcast there.
Oh yes, let's hope
if
that
I go
happens.
To, go to Malta.
You're going to be in Malta, yeah? All right.
Nice.
Well, that's been another fantastic episode of the ATG podcast. Thank you everybody for joining us.
Thank you.
Tell your Instagram handles so people can stalk you on Instagram.
Yasmin.Stevens.
Amanda the Strong Panda.
Oh, it's so long to spell. O-N-E_K.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Just follow @HG Insta.
@HG Insta.
Perfect. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.